scumbags!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
All right, level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The Pittsburgh players, the hustlers, the people in Boston, and everybody else in between. We're throwing it down to Wicked Wednesday edition of the program. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Bub Mano, will step back up and in a couple of moments' time. As the NHL playoffs continue, the craziness continues, the potential upsets continue. We break it down. We'll take a look at the early games. NBA bubble talk as well. We'll take a look at the overnight numbers in the association. And on last night's program, we identified the Oklahoma City Thunder game against the Los Angeles Lakers, as the Lakers had already wrapped up the top seed in the Western Conference. And the Lakers are not a team that can afford to be losing any more players. They also can't afford to be playing the players that they have and run these guys into the ground just for the sake of it when these games don't mean anything for them anymore. But they also have to somewhat stay sharp. But, you know, long story short, we gave you Oklahoma City last night, and the Oklahoma City Thunder did get it done. So we'll talk some NBA basketball. The Toronto Raptors just continue to roll inside this bubble, 3-0, and the Raptors are doing something that nobody else in the NBA does, play defense, something that we didn't get to in level one. The Big Ten, who was pretty apprehensive, and a lot of people thought potentially the Big Ten, you know, maybe wouldn't play, or, you know, they said, oh, we're not going to play, you know, non-conference games. The Big Ten has stepped up, and they're actually going to be kicking off on September the 3rd earlier than the SEC is. And you gotta believe right now the SEC is like, can you believe that we waited for all these other people? And, you know, now we're going to start late and they're going to be starting before us. But starting is one thing, you know, getting through it is another thing, right? That's the situation in college football. There is some optimism right now, at least, you know, as far as them starting. But if you also notice, there's like a near mutiny going on in college sports right now as well. I mean, there's a bunch of kids that are ready to walk. You know, so there's allegations that some universities are covering up the COVID, all kinds of crazy stuff that you would expect from the world of college football. So you know that the world's a normal place when there's crazy, sleazy stories coming from the college football world. And that's what's going on right now. We're going to talk pucks. We'll take a look at the NBA. I want to get into this Marty Jannetty story because it's a weird one. All right, level two, Sports Rage, late night. Vent your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
All right, Sports Race late night continues. Thanks to the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, for stepping up and in. Thanks to Babano for joining us. Thanks to Yang in Midtown Manhattan. Nice and crisp here this evening, post-hurricane style. So we got Ian Cameron now for a couple of more minutes. Let's just take a look at tomorrow's hockey card. We talked about Vancouver and Minnesota already. I want to sort of, you know, focus more in on the playoff games than than just the seeding games. So you got the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Leafs couldn't figure out they couldn't figure out Columbus's goalie in the first game of the series. Corbisalo was just amazing, and he was again in game two. But they finally broke through, and you know, I give the Leafs credit actually for. You know, it gets frustrating if you can't score after three periods, four periods, five periods, et cetera. You wonder if you're ever going to score, but they kept at it. They finally broke through. I expect the Leafs to be able to, you know, they have the talent. If, you know, when you look at the roster, I don't think the Leafs are built to win a Stanley Cup, but for the money that they spend and the star players that they have, they should be able to win this series against the Columbus Blue Jackets. You have to lay a price, though, because they're such a public team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. What do you make of this game? as the Toronto Maple Leafs minus 145. What's your take?
Yeah, this is a tough one. It really is. I mean, John Tortorella read his team the riot act after game two. It just kept answering every question from the media after the game the same way. Toronto was really good. We sucked. Toronto was really good. We sucked. That was his answer with the four or five questions he was asked. So he was not happy. He was screaming and yelling at Pierre-Luc Dubois over a bad line change during that game as well. So it was a very angry, ornery John Tortorella. I don't know if that's going to have a major impact, you know, on what the Jackets look like tomorrow, but we'll see if they can respond. The thing is, though, Gabe, with the first two games, and I've watched them start to finish, you know, even in game one where the Leafs got shut out, they still had the better quality chances, I thought, and they still had some better opportunities in the Columbus zone. Two games in a row, although finally they got rewarded for it in game two. Matthews, Tavares stepped up with big goals. I'm just not sure I'm fully convinced that, you know, Columbus is going to be able to stem this tide again. They're going to need, where's Cam Atkinson been in this series? Where's Oliver Bjorkstrand been in this series for Columbus? The guys they rely on to put the puck in the net. They just haven't been creating enough opportunities in the offensive zone. That's going to have to change. You can't just defend for 60 minutes and think that's going to be enough to get you by. And as good as Korpisalo's been, you know, you still are talking about a goalie with just two playoff starts in his career. So, you know, the words from Tortorella make me think that'll fire up Columbus. But the more I watch this series progress, the Leafs seem to be getting stronger. I just wish, Gabe, I could get better prices than minus. The Leafs are always up there in that minus 150 range. So it's not exactly a value price, but if I had to bet it, I'd lean to Toronto. I just hate the price. I hate laying that kind of price with the Leafs, Gabe. That's what it comes down to.
You know what's surprising? They're actually a shorter price than they were in game two. They were bigger favorites in game two, which actually somewhat surprises me that it is only minus 145, but you're right. Yeah, you always, the Leafs are like the Dallas Cowboys. They don't win, but you have to lay a price to bet them. If you know what I mean, it's just the way that it is. You know, their large fan base inflates the numbers, and it's just a fact. All right, so the Calgary Flames and the Winnipeg Jets. Winnipeg are shorthanded right now, so I'll cut them some slack. But at the same point in time, you know, they just seem to find a way to lose no matter what, even if they wouldn't be so shorthanded. And with that being stated, I know they're going to lay it all out there. I picked Winnipeg to win before the series started. I'm not liking that very much anymore right now. What do you think happens in this spot with the Calgary Flames laying $1.55 tomorrow night?
I am not, Gabe, going to jump off Winnipeg's train just yet. The Calgary's just had one of these series where things have fallen their way. Winnipeg's been ripped with injuries, and it's not just Scheifele and Laine. I think people, that's all I hear, Scheifele and Laine. Mason Appleton and Matthew Perreault, two key depth forwards in the third and fourth line for Winnipeg. And they're not going to get the headlines, but they're good away from the puck. They're on the penalty kill all the time. They have the physicality element to them. You know, they can change maybe the momentum of the game, lift the bench, you know, when you're trailing in a game with a big hit, you know, big open ice body check, something like that. Those two guys provide that. So they also got injured. There's some people that are following the Jets all around this series that are hinting Scheifele and or Laine might try to give it a go tomorrow. It's not saying for sure they play. It's still very dicey and up in the air, but that's where the rumblings are saying right now, going into this pivotal game four for the Jets, that one or both may try to give it a go. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But regardless, Paul Maurice has talked about it all year. Blake Wheeler, the captain's talked about it all year, Gabe, with the Jets. They've had so many injuries. They basically lost their entire blue line from last year. Byfuglien gone, Trouba gone, Myers gone, Ben Chiarot gone. And look at what Ben Chiarot's doing in Montreal. You know, he's had a great series on the blue line for the Canadiens, in my opinion. Winnipeg lost all those guys on the blue line. They've got a very young blue line, but what did they do? They persevered. They still have the offense. They've still got Connor Hellebuyck, and they have fought through adversity. They fought through injuries, and they have really stuck together with heart and grit and character and digging down deep when they've been shorthanded. I think you get that kind of effort, Gabe, one more time. I really do. Calgary's going to have to prove to me that they can, you know, put the foot on the throat of somebody. Sometimes this team has not had that killer instinct. We saw it last year. We've seen it at times during the season. They're going to have to show it to me. And one thing about Hellebuck, off a loss, off a bad performance, and it wasn't his best game, the last one, he gave up 6 goals. He usually is always someone you can count on to bounce back strong and be great the next game after a bad performance or a tough loss. I think you get that from Connor Hellebuck. I like Winnipeg at the price. I don't think they go down without a fight, and I like the game to go over the total 5.5. I will always be interested, Gabe, in a 5 or 5.5 total in an elimination game, because you can get crazy things happening in the third period. You can get empty net for 5 minutes, 2-3 goals during that time, and an explosion late in the game. So I like the Jets, and I like over 5.5 at a good plus price.
Yeah, you know what? I brought that up actually earlier, and I agree with you. I think it's a good point. It didn't happen in the Islander game. Somehow that game managed to stay under the number. But I agree. In this one, and I prefer betting hockey unders, Babano, but this Flames-Jets game, it has that feel that it opens up a little bit. And I'll never question Winnipeg's heart. You know, Winnipeg are as scrappy as they come. They're, you know, they got a ton of heart, this hockey team. I totally get that. But they shoot themselves in the foot all the time. Right? Like they, you know, they take bad penalties. You know, they, like I said, they're just an undisciplined hockey team. And it's almost like they're beating themselves. They're right there with Calgary. But, you know, Calgary just seemed to be a little bit smarter than they are on the ice. Or I should say maybe they're getting away with more on the ice. Right? But it seems like the Flames are in their head a little bit. And the Jets are just sort of like not as dialed in as they could be. They're preoccupied with trying to murder the Calgary Flame players. And I get it. You know what I mean? They hate each other. It is what it is. But I totally get the point. Like, I'm not saying the Jets are going to roll over. No one in the NHL is ever going to roll over. Right? But I just think that their back's against the wall now. And Calgary will find a way. I'm leaning with the Flames. Right? So before we get you out of here, Babano, NBA basketball, Pelicans and Kings. The Pelicans left Zion on the court for longer the other night, and ooh, they win. So everybody thinks, oh, they should have been playing the whole time. But he will be playing more. Things aren't going Sacramento's way in the bubble right now. Pelicans are laying 4, totals 233. Pacers and Suns will be a fun game. And the total is already climbing here. This is up to 229.5. We got the Bucks and the Heat. So we got less than 30 seconds here, Babano. Any quick take on the NBA on the way out?
Lean Pelicans, lean Suns, and I've cashed every game that the Portland Trail Blazers have played so far. I don't care what the number is against Denver. That team is playing with a purpose, playing with passion. I like Portland again against the Nuggets tomorrow night. Back-to-back as well for Denver.
Ian Cameron, you can find him on Twitter at Babano. You can also find him over at Patreon with the Ice Guys talking pucks. Ian Cameron, Twitter, Babano. Thanks for stepping up. It is Sports Rage Late Night Continue.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage Late Night rolls on. I'm Morenci. Vet your rage. Man, this show is another night that has just flown by. But you know what? Life just flies by. That's the thing. It's not just the show. Although the shows do go quick. Life, the years, days, months, you know, weeks. You think about it, like, you know, we've been in this pandemic and stuff. But, you know, time has gone on. You know what I mean? Time, like, you know, we're moving into what? 5, 6 months now? Right? Like it's just almost like the new normal moving forward. And 2020, whatever, man, nothing is surprising. Nothing like blows your mind anymore. And that's why, like, I got to be honest, when I saw earlier in the day, I saw Marty Jannetty, longtime wrestler, WWE wrestler, Marty Jannetty. I saw that he was trending I saw that he was trending on Twitter earlier this morning, and like, you know, like most former wrestlers, and especially Marty has had some personal issues over the years, you sort of expect the worst and figure, oh yeah, Marty Jannetty must have passed away. And I don't know, it's almost like might be worse what would happen than him. And I know that sounds crazy to say, but he could have some big problems on his hands right now. Some real big problems. As for some reason or another, Marty Jannetty, and listen, he's not well. He said a lot of crazy things online over the years already. Yet for one reason or another, he decided to post on the internet. I never told no one this, even my brother Gino, because Gino would have killed him. And I don't want my brother gone. He'd only recently come home from Vietnam. I was 13 working at Victory Lane's bowling alley, buying weed from a slur that we cannot repeat on the air that worked there. He put his hands around me. He dragged me around to the back of the building. You know what he was going to try to do. That was the very first time I made a man disappear. They never found him. They should have looked in the Chattahoochee River, but Winnie, the girl in these pics, I like you so damn much, but probably my favorite. I promised myself way back then, nobody ever hurt me again, but that includes you. I loved you, but you hurt me with your freaking Jamaican jealousy. You can go your own way. I don't need you. Danny goes on, you know, to talk about this woman that he just broke up with. So basically he deleted this after, except, you know, it's the internet. So everything is out there immediately all the time. So there was no turning back. And then TMZ, of course, TMZ, the first thing TMZ does is actually call the cops. So TMZ called the local cops to ask them if they're opening and if there's an investigation about this. And they said, well, now there's going to be, and they're going to look into this. As Marty Jannetty is implying that he basically whacked somebody and dumped them in the river in 1973. So basically we're talking about 47 years ago. You know, there are cold cases though out there, right? So we're talking about 47 years ago. I don't know, man. It'd be a pretty crazy way for this guy to go out like this. Like I said, he already has, like, he's not all there. He's suing the WWE, you know what I mean, for, like, you know, traumatic symptoms, et cetera, and stuff like that. But, yeah, this is pretty over the top. You know, it's one thing for somebody to go on Twitter and admit, oh, yeah, you know what, when I was young, you know, I stole a car or something like that. You know, like okay. You know, yeah, I stole a car 47 years ago. Talking about, like, you know, dumping somebody in the river and they've never been seen again. And he goes on to say, that was just the first time that I made a man disappear. You know, the problem is, you know, if you're a wrestler, you could say, listen, it's a figure of speech. I'm crazy. I'm trying to build up, you know, I'm trying to get attention. You can go a lot of different routes with this, right? But the thing is, the dude's not well, so, you know, it's not like he's kidding and he can almost backtrack and say, oh, you know what, I was just kidding around with this. I don't think he can go that route, because the thing is, he really did work at this place. And I guess this bowling alley really is right by the river. Like, everything is sort of matching up. So as TMZ is basically saying that everything matches up, so now it's up to the police. It's just what the cops need, too, in this small town. That's just what they need. They need a national media circus over a former crazy wrestler that might have killed someone 47 years ago. Man, like, listen, wrestlers have a crazy life. Wrestlers' lives have all, like, so many of them have ended in, like, weird ways and crazy ways. Yeah, this would, you know, this is something that, you know, is beyond normal. That someone would confess to killing somebody online, delete it, he hasn't commented since this this story is starting to get bigger right now. Earlier in the day, the police had no comment and stuff, but of course TMZ wants to see him get arrested and stuff. You know, TMZ is just looking for hits. So TMZ's like, oh, we've contacted the police and asking them why it's not, you know, they're opening it up. And dude, it's a small little sheriff. So now he's got to dig into the files. And they basically stated they're going to look up and see if anything matches to what his story is from 47 years ago. Yeah, 2020, man. 2020, Marty Jannetty, here he is. Like, wow. Like, nothing, you know what I mean? Like, in 2020, honestly, and we're not even done yet. It almost feels like, you know what, like they're saving the best and the craziest part, like the fireworks part of the show is yet to come. You know what I mean? It almost feels like, nah, I can't. 2020 is probably not, like, settled down yet. It's probably just going to get weirder and crazier. And, well, it has gotten weirder. So, like I said, I don't know. I guess it's good news that Marty Jannetty didn't pass away, right? That was, you know, when I saw the trend, when I saw the hashtag Marty, I'm like, oh, boy. You know, another poor wrestler's bit the bullet. but no. No. But now they had a Columbus Police Department reported looking into comments made by Marty Jannetty about making someone disappear. I guess he was part of one of the biggest, like, Shawn Michaels, right? Like, threw him through a barbershop window, and I guess he was never the same. And Shawn Michaels, at least, man, like I said, wrestling, you can't make this stuff up. Like, you think, like, rock bands are crazy and, like, rappers have crazy lives and stuff like that. But, you know, like, especially the old 80s wrestler. Like, the old 80s wrestler, that's, like, some next level crazy. Like, I don't think the modern dudes are as nuts at all. I think they're more, look, they're on, like, reality TV shows and stuff. I don't think they're, like, you know, sort of, like, back crap crazy. Like, the old sort of 70s and 80s wrestlers are and were. But still, wrestling, it's like a lifestyle of insanity that, you know, it's not real, but you're still beating the crap out of yourself. You're not beating the crap out of other people. You're beating the crap out of yourself, you know, like 250, 300 nights a year. You're on tour all the time. And listen, it's hard, like, you know, just doing shows every night. Let alone, like, imagine, like, you're doing just shows sitting in a chair every night. It's a grind. Doing shows if you're in a band every night is a big grind, right? Like, producing a show, doing a show, whatever. Doing anything every night is a grind if you add it all up and you're doing it all the time. And, you know, you do wrestling, you get into the wrestling part, and you're doing it every night, and it's just, you know, I'll never forget what Raven told me, the crazy wrestler Raven. He said, I've had thumbtacks, you know, I've been in eating glass and glass over the head and thumbtack matches and all kinds of crazy things. He said, it's the little things. People step on your finger. He goes, you hurt yourself on the ropes. You get stuck. You know what I mean? You twist something. You know, the big thing he talked about, he said, the worst thing is people always step on your hands in wrestling, he said. He said, the worst part is oftentimes, like, people will step on your hands accidentally, and they're big dudes stepping on your hand, right? So it's funny, like, you know, people think, oh, I don't want to get hit over the back of the head with a chair, but they know what they're doing when they're hitting you over the back of the head with a chair. It's the things that they just sort of can't avoid along the way. It's a fascinating industry. And, you know, I'm not a wrestling mark. I don't watch wrestling every week or anything like that, but I'm also not, like, an elitist. Like, oh, I don't watch wrestling. I've enjoyed the elite stuff with Chris Jericho. Although I saw tonight, and especially tonight, you know, you got a million sporting events going on. So I watched wrestling during the pandemic a little bit more when there was nothing else going on. But I saw they had Eric Bischoff on. And one thing that's good about all elite, you know, the elite wrestling is, yeah, they've got guys that were in the WWE and stuff like that, but, you know, and they've got a few older dudes, but what's good about it is it's kind of fresh. It's old school jokes and stuff, but it's kind of fresh. it's not just sort of, you know, you don't want to turn yourself into just sort of like, oh, everybody that's not in that company is now in this company type of deal. And I don't know, like, are fans clamoring to see Eric Bischoff? Like, really? You know what I mean? Like, it was, you already have a good thing going. Do you really need Eric Bischoff in this thing now? But hey, it is what it is. And I'm not criticizing it because I don't watch it inside out. I'm not a, like, it's like someone that's not a diehard fan of a band reviewing the record. I didn't watch it. I'm just stating. You guys already seem to have a pretty good thing going. I don't know if you need Eric Bischoff on this, too. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
All right, Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Morenci, vent your rage. All right, the show's just flown by here this evening. It always does, though. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates tuning in. The Chicago Blackhawks beat the Edmonton Oilers tonight as, wow, upset city, man. And you know what it is? You look at, like, March Madness, too. You get that 12-5. And you look at the 12-5 matchups. What are the 12-5 matchups in the National Hockey League? The Montreal Canadiens, 12-5. Chicago, Edmonton, 12-5. You know, it really is amazing, isn't it? Both identical 4-3 final scores as well. And whatever, man. Like, you know, I was wrong tonight. I thought the Oilers were going to win the series. I've been, you know, right about some of the series and, you know, some upsets. And, you know, we've been wrong and right. It's like they said, what are you going to do when you're right? You know, 52% of the time, you're going to be wrong 48% of the time, as they said on The Simpsons. But I had my reservation. I had my doubts, all right, about the Edmonton Oilers coming into this. I was like, are they really going to ever? This team never lives up to the hype. Like, they're one of these teams that, you know what I mean? Like, anyone who follows hockey knows they've had, like, the number one pick, like, you know, 22 years in a row, you know, an exaggeration. But it was basically like, come on, guys, you know, stop giving Edmonton the top pick. Like, you know, Edmonton either had, like, the 1, 2, or 3 pick in the draft for, like, 5 years in a row, man. And everybody keeps waiting. It's almost like that trust the process thing. You know, they almost are the Philadelphia 76ers, actually. Except they're not even as good as the Sixers. And people in Philly think the Sixers are chokers. Like, the Oilers, like, that's a good example, I think. They're like, the Oilers are the trust the process. Well, how long is this freaking process? How long's the process? And you know what? You're Chicago Blackhawks, really? It's like, come on, man. You know, like, at some point, if you're the Edmonton, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, it's up to you, it's up to you to stop just living up to the talk about hype and actually living up to it. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. These teams, like, they are who we think, you know, who we think they are, basically. We are who we thought they were. Soft. That's the thing too, man. These teams, they just don't get it. And I'm telling you what, it's the same thing in the NBA. It's a trickle effect. It's the same thing, guys. I'm watching the NBA on a daily basis, and I'm watching this NHL on a daily basis. And let's be real too. I want to reemphasize this. We brought this up earlier in the week that the teams playing in the NHL playoffs right now aren't even that good. They're not the top teams. It's not like all these teams move on and they have a chance of winning. It's like, no, they move on and then they play real teams. Like, they only look good because they're playing each other. You know what I mean? Like that, you know, let's just be real. Like, how far is Arizona going? Not very, okay? Not very. They're playing a crap-ass Nashville team. Like, the Florida Panthers suck, okay? Like, the Montreal Canadiens aren't any good. Let's just be real. I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan. They're not that good, the Montreal Canadiens. Anybody that watches hockey can tell you that the Montreal Canadiens are not that good of a team. Like, they're a 12 seed for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, they're the 12 out of, like, 16. Like, they're not a very good team. They have a very good goalie who, when he is good, he's, like, amongst the best in the league. And he's not always that way. But when he is, he is. They work hard. They don't have any star players. Like, they are totally outmatched. You know, I spoke with Scotty Farrell, and I said, the Penguins don't really have any depth, and he seemed to take offense to it. He said, oh, they have more depth than the Canadiens. Yeah, maybe, but they're losing to the Canadiens. Right? Like that, you know what I mean? Like, the Pittsburgh Penguins, they're not great either. Like I said, like, the Canadiens are not a great team. And another thing is, the Canadiens aren't great, and the Canadiens aren't playing great either. So it's not like you can say, yeah, they're not very good, but man, are they playing well right now. No, you can't even say that. They're like, no, they're not that good, and they're really not playing all that good, but they're winning the series. So what does it say about the Pittsburgh Penguins? You know what I mean? My point is that these teams aren't that good. You know, like, the top four seeds of both conferences aren't playing. We've never seen this before. It's easy to get caught up in the playoffs. Oh, this is playoffs. Yeah, whatever, man. It's junior playoffs. You know what I mean? It's not like real playoffs. It's not even the real teams. It is, but it isn't. Like, the top four teams in each conference haven't even played. So it's a little bit different. So I don't get overly excited about any of these teams. Like, which one of these teams playing right now could actually go deep? Chicago could beat Edmonton, and I think they will now. I think Edmonton is done. They're going to choke. But Chicago's going to lose, like, the next round. The Islanders are going to beat the Panthers. You know, they'll finish them off eventually, and then they're going to lose in the next round. Like, which one of these teams that's playing could actually win again the next round? I think Montreal, maybe Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? I never count out Crosby and Malkin, but Crosby's looked a little aged. Like I said, they need help from other people. And like I said, you got Carey Price. You give yourself a chance to win at any time. But I'm watching these teams play, and like the Edmonton Oilers, like, their defenseman has his back to everybody. He's in the crease. It's like Keystone Cop stuff. And you're in the playoffs. There's just no attention to detail. All these clown teams have a hard time getting the puck out of their own zone. It, you know, it's just, you watch it, you're like, wow, this team has zero chance of ever winning anything. Like, the way that they play, you're just not winning. And it's the same thing in the NBA. And I know Twitter blows up and stuff about, oh my God, did you see this guy and Devin Booker hit the shot and this guy went off for 44, 48 and blah, 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 and all that. Whatever, man, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, Luka Doncic goes off. Yeah, does 32, 10, 14, this and that, and they lose. Or Harden, and he lose. You know, or they win, like, you know, 132 to 130. It's, people like it. It gets you a shoe deal. It gets you laid with Instagram models. I'm not ragging. I'm not, like, hating. And these guys are balling. But are they winning? Are they winning? You know, look at the Toronto Raptors. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... It's not fun to make a gif about a team that, like, gives up 92 points a game, right? Like, there's no, like, defense, especially in basketball, doesn't sell. It's not as flashy. It's not as sexy. But that's what wins. Like, right now, if I ask you, for those of you listening, wherever you are listening, whether you're watching online, whether, you know, you're on a stream, you're in a car, you're in a truck, you're in a radio, you're in a basement, wherever you are, I ask you right now, like, who do you think, and, you know, to yourselves even, who do you think is, like, is going to play in the NBA Finals? Like, a lot of people that are smart people that cover the game, that bet on the game, tell us they think that it's going to be the Raptors and the Clippers. What's the common correlation between the Raptors and the Clippers? Defense. Right? That's the common correlation. Defense. You know, like the Lakers aren't known for a defensive team. The Lakers are actually the third best defensive efficient team in the NBA. Right? You know, when the Golden State Warriors are winning, defense. I'm telling you, man, like putting up big numbers gets you shoe deals and gets you Kardashians, but it doesn't get your rings. It doesn't get your rings. Like in the NBA, you don't just, like when the Golden State Warriors were winning and people thought of them as, you know, they were, you know, draining threes and they were, you know, it was raining and all that. And they played good defense. They played good defense. Right? So to me, you know, I look at the Milwaukee Bucks. We talked about this last night. Not great defense. You know, Boston Celtics defense hit or miss. I think teams think, okay, you know what? We're going to play defense. We're going to play defense because the playoffs now. And yeah, you can try to play defense, but teams that actually do it are going to be better at it. And nobody actually really does it. You know, the more I think about it, like the more I'm buying in. And I already bought into the Toronto Raptors, but I bought into the Raptors making the Eastern Conference Finals again. Listen, we picked the Raptors to win the title last year, but I was like, this year, I know Milwaukee are dangerous. It seems to me Milwaukee have regressed a little bit, and I don't know. I know they're going to get an opportunity to kick the crap out of Brooklyn or Orlando or something like that, and I guess they'll start to feel better about themselves, but the style of basketball that they play, it leaves you very, very vulnerable. It doesn't win championships. And we see the same thing in the NHL. The Edmonton Oilers, ooh, we're going to score this many goals, and oh, look at this, we're going to hat trick and all that. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. All right, so let's not forget we got the PGA Championship as well. Man, hard to believe that Brooks Koepka tried to do something that nobody's ever done before. Three straight PGA Championships, plus 1,100 right now. Justin Thomas is also plus 1,100. I got one guy that I'm taking, and that's Xander Schauffele. He is 18-1. Yet we do have a couple of top 20 props for you guys. I like the props for the golf. And we're talking about Scottie Scheffler and Harris English, both plus 340 to be in the top 20. Harris English and Scottie Scheffler, both respectively plus 340 right now at FanDuel to be in the top 20. I like both those. I like both those props. All right, we promised we take a look at the overnight NBA numbers as well, as the NBA is starting to get interesting. This Western Conference play-in stuff is really getting crazy. it really is. Like even LeBron James, they asked about, you know, how are you enjoying life in the bubble, and you know, you guys wrapped up the number one seed, and he basically stated, "I'm just watching this like play-in stuff." Like he's like, man. He goes, basically, every team has a chance. And he goes, you know, I like how he goes. He actually was honest. He goes, you know, I'm sure you would expect me to say, oh, it doesn't matter who we play. But he goes, no, I want to know who we're playing. And he goes, I'm watching all the games. And I'm curious to see who we end up playing and who ends up getting the 8th seed. You know, when the NBA announced this, you know, once again, a lot of us sort of, oh, really, playing weird, like really 3.5 games and all this. But now that we're in the midst of it, it's going to be entertaining. And I remember I even said that at the time when they announced it, I said, yeah, everyone complains and says it's stupid, but don't tell me you're not going to bet big money if, like, Sacramento were playing the Pelicans to get into the playoffs. It's like a wild card play-in game. People are laying it down large, man, on these bubble games, all right? The sportsbook handle has been big, and we're not even in the playoffs yet. We're not even in the playoffs yet. All right, Sports Rage late night. We'll wrap up with a couple of picks on the other side. Bits and bad beats coming up as well on these radio affiliates. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night winds down. A couple of minutes left. As I mentioned, Bagels and Bad Beats. Scott Wetzel and company. And don't forget, we follow Scotty Farrell on these radio affiliates weeknights right here on the grid or whatever town and station you are listening to us on right now. Shout out to everybody. We appreciate the support in the late night hours as we got people tuning in from all over the place, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, different countries, and everything else in between. Great stuff. All right, so let's take a look at the overnight numbers here right now. The New Orleans Pelicans, -4 against the Sacramento Kings, and things just aren't going to Kings' way in this bubble. Bazemore's talking about they just don't know how to win close basketball games. They're grinding. They're going to keep on, you know, try to fight through this. I get the feeling that the Pelicans might have broken through. Don't listen, man. The Pelicans were playing good basketball in the exhibition games in the bubble. They had a 16-point lead on the Utah Jazz. And, you know, if Brandon Ingram hits that three at the end of the game at the buzzer, they win the game. So... and then they got massacred by the Clippers. Like, people have sort of overreacted a bit. Like, I think the expectations, including for myself, might have been a little bit too high on the Pelicans. But in this spot, when push comes to shove, I trust the Pelicans more than the Kings here. I'll be looking. The Pelicans are -174 on the money line, -4 as far as the point spread is concerned. I'll tell you, both these teams have not lost in the bubble. Is the Pacers and the Phoenix Suns. Both have been very impressive. And, man, the number's gone up here. It was like 227.5, 228. It's up to 229.5 right now. But you got to believe that this game's going to be a track meet. The Pacers have been playing at a crazy pace. They've got guys that can light the lamp right now. TJ Warren's been going off, except Phoenix are playing great basketball. That's a really cool basketball game right there between two undefeated teams in the bubble. It's a bigger game for Phoenix, though. As crazy as it sounds, I'm leaning with the Phoenix Suns. All right, shout out to everybody here. Thanks to Master Control, Midtown, Manhattan. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Shoffley is our pick to win the PGA. You're on your own. Later.